Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Tuesday, February 15th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button there at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That will get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our passion and hobby and lifestyle of backyard poultry, show poultry, urban farming, sustainable living, and anything else that might tickle your fancy. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
When you need
need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey. Technology you can trust.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We've got a great show lined up for you today. It is, of course, Tuesday, February the 15th, and today we have the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. They're going to be on talking all about the Java Recovery Project. The Java Recovery Project, I know we're all anxious to hear about that. In fact, not only we will have Jeanette Behringer with us, but Steve Moyes, Research and Technical Programs Manager with the ALBC. They'll both be here talking about the Java Recovery Project, so we're definitely looking forward to that. Tomorrow, Jim Adkins, founder of the International Center for Poultry, will be here. He'll be talking about poultry and sustainable farming and homesteading marketing, so that's going to be a very interesting show. Again, as always, bring pen and paper to the radio show program, because you're guaranteed to learn a lot. Thursday, we'll have Dr. Bridget McRae, Poultry Today with Dr. McRae, on this coming Thursday. And then, of course, Friday, we'll have Bill Rupert of Gardens and Chicken Ranch and Bill Owens and the National Nursery Product. So that'll be on Friday. So we have a whole gamut of great great shows for you this week. Again, we really want to thank you for tuning in today. And, of course, today being Tuesday, every Tuesday is brought to you by EggCartons.com. And let me just switch over here and see what kind of prize we got for today. You're going to love this. 25 of the recycled fiber teal egg cartons, fresh farm eggs. That's from EggCartons.com. So a little later today in the show, and we have our chicken trivia contest. One lucky listener is going to win a 25 count of the recycled fiber teal in color farm fresh eggs egg carton. And that looks like that's a value of $20 and plus the shipping. And so you'll great value there. And we'll have a chicken trivia question for all of our listeners at the end of the show. That is always a fun time. And so again, today is brought to you by eggcartons.com. Tomorrow is Ware Manufacturing. We'll be giving away a nesting box from Ware Manufacturing. That will be tomorrow. And then Thursday, we've got a great prize lined up for you. It looks like Thursday from critter-cages.com. They're going to have, let's see what we get here on Thursday that we're giving away, a brooder lamp with a dimmer control and a 100-watt infrared bulb. And so we've got that coming up on Thursday. That's about a $30 to $35 value on Thursday. So those of you who are getting some new baby chicks in, you're not going to want to miss Thursday's show and a chance to win that brooder lamp with a dimmer control A lot of them don't have that on there, but this one will. And, of course, the lamp, the dimmer control, and the 100-watt bulb. So very cool there. And then, of course, this Friday we'll have lots of prizes they'll be giving away, including some happy hen treats from RandallBurkey.com. So wanted to let you know and keep you updated on what kind of prizes we're giving away this week on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. All righty, let me get over here to the switchboard. I regretfully have to announce that my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author Pat Forman, will not be with us today. She's actually doing an interview with NPR today, and so that, I believe they're going to be recording that interview. I think, from what I understood, it wasn't a live interview. Otherwise, we'd all tune in and be listening. I think it was going to be a recorded interview and then played at a later date during a later segment. So if that wraps up early, she may be joining us. But until then, I do have a very, very special guest. In fact, let me go ahead and introduce him today. It is, of course, our special guest today, the one, the only, my partner in business when it comes to the Chicken Whisperer collector cards, the one and only Brighton Duncan, future poultry scientist and PhD. Hey, Brighton, how you doing today?
Hey, doing good.
Thank you very much for joining us. We got a great show lined up for everybody. Again, the ALBC will be here today talking about the Java Recovery Project. So we're definitely looking forward to that. And what's going on? I believe your mom told me, Brighton, that it might be a little noisy in the background because you're preparing this week. This Saturday is the Chattahoochee Valley Poultry Association Poultry Show. It's an awesome show. This will be the second year we've actually covered it down there. So don't forget, listeners, you can tune in live this Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be broadcasting live with live video. If all pans out and we have a decent connection, where you'll be able to see some of the birds on display at the show there in both the sales section and the competition. We'll be interviewing hopefully some breeders and some judges. It's going to be a great time this Saturday. And in Brighton, you and your sister, Laura, are getting ready for this show. So we may hear occasional crows in the background because I think your mom said that you've got several roosters inside the house getting them all prepared for the show this weekend. Is that right?
Yep.
Now, my wife, Jen, yesterday was talking to your mom, and we were kind of staggered at how many birds y'all are actually taking to the show. And I think the number was something like 35 in total. I heard that you may be taking something like 20 birds, and Laura may be taking 15. Is that what you're still shooting for this weekend?
Yeah, I'm taking 23, and Laura's taking 15.
That's a lot of bird baths, let me tell you. You're going to be busy. No wonder you've already started getting the birds ready for competition. If you're taking that many birds, that's an awful lot of awful lot of bird baths.
Yeah.
So, if you can tell us what breeds are you taking to the show this weekend?
I'm taking Rhode Island Red, Barred Rock, Silver Lake Wyandotte, and that's it.
Okay, so it's three breeds and about 22 birds, so maybe around seven breeds of each. Or I know you're really heavy with the Rhode Island Reds, and so you may be taking more of them. Your sister Laura, what breeds is she going to be taking to the show this Saturday?
Cochin, Silkie, and Phoenixes, and that's it.
Okay, very, very good. Very good. Well, hey, we appreciate you filling in for Pat today, of course. And when we get in a little bit later in the show and we welcome the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, then I'm sure you may have some questions for them as well. So just let us know and you can chime in anytime you would like. So we appreciate you coming on today. Alrighty, folks, it's now time for our Chickens in the News segment. Chickens in the News every day is brought to you by MeyerHatchery.com up in Polk, Ohio. Visit them online, especially when you're ready to order your spring chicks. That's MeyerHatchery.com. Alrighty, you can see all our Chickens in the News at Facebook.com/TheChickenWhisperer. Again, that's Facebook.com/TheChickenWhisperer. And all of them are posted. We share many of them on the radio show. Some we do, some we don't. But we just wanted to share that with you. And let me go ahead and pop this one up here on our webpage. spate of chicken thieves raises alarm in Dorset villages. This is coming to us across the pond from the UK. Chicken rustlers have struck in neighboring Dorset villages three times in just a week. The thieves, part of a growing UK trend, according to a leading bird conservation group, took place in Litchett, Matlovers, and Litchett Minster. Experts fear thieves are targeting households who keep their own chickens because the price of domestic fowl has risen sharply. Bernie Lansoff of the Domestic Fowl Trust says some purebreeds, like the one stolen in Dorset, can fetch more than 100 pounds at the auction. Of course, as you can see with that dollar figure, and we're talking about Europe, the first theft took place at an address on Dorchester Road between 7 p.m. on the 27th and 7 a.m. the next day. Several poultry hens were snatched. Then the following Friday, the same victim reported more stolen chickens and the theft of electric fencing. During the same night, chicken feed and electric fencing was stolen from another property in Poole Road. PC Adam Taylor said, several of the chickens are exotic and rare breeds, including Brahma and Silky chickens. One of the victims has devoted a lot of time to set up a small holding, and these have been very upsetting incidents. The Domestic Fowl Trust says chicken thieves, driven by rising prices, are happening more regularly across the country. Some of them are stolen to order. Some are stolen and then taken straight to auction. Our birds are around 30 pounds each, but I've seen some purebreeds sell for 100 pounds or more. I've even heard of some of these stolen birds are sold on poultry websites. So, we've actually covered some stories about that happening here in the U.S. too. As more people are getting into backyard poultry, or as more people are really spending and laying out the big bucks for some of these birds, especially the show birds, because let me tell you, due to also increasing in the backyard poultry, folks, more people now are starting to go to poultry shows. They're seeing these beautiful rare breeds. They're dropping some change on them. They're doing more and more extensive money as far as incubators and brooding and setups. And so this may be an unhappy trend that we're going to start reporting on a good bit. It says 100 pounds is almost $180, she thinks, depending on the exchange rate. So that's that is pretty crazy, Dragon, in the chat room. So and I just haven't had time to look at the exchange rate to see what 100 pounds would equate to dollars, U.S. dollars. But with the dollar being in the toilet all the time, who knows? So this is a story that we may see a trend, an unhappy trend starting, especially as more and more people are starting to show chickens and doing that. But the same farm hit twice, and we have reported on that here in the U.S. Not a lot, but on occasion, and it did happen at a farm that actually had some very rare and winning show chickens. So wanted to share that story with you. Scroll down here a little bit more, and I want to make sure I get the ones that I've been wanting to share with you on the air today. Again, all these can be seen at our Facebook page, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. Scroll up here. There was one more I wanted to share with you specifically. Lafayette, we've reported on this several times as they talk about changing the laws in their area. This comes to us from your Daily Camera Online, the Daily Camera. In Boulder, Colorado, Lafayette expected to legalize backyard chickens. Of course, we know that Longmont, Colorado, did the same thing a few years back after much turmoil and much anguish to people. You know, we've reported since then, after a couple of years, that the city of Longmont says it's a non-issue. We haven't had any problems. Now, all this stuff that people were shouting out that, oh, you're going to have this, oh, you're going to have that, oh, this is going to happen, oh, that is going to happen. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that comes directly from the horse's mouth there at Longmont City Council. Lafayette. Faye, Dahlia, and Genevieve need worry no longer that they are unlawful squatters. Betty, June, and Eleanor will have the same legitimacy as Rex, Rover, and Fido. Lafayette is set to make the six hens living at the Isert home at the north end of town, and chickens throughout the entire city, for that matter, legal members of the community. The City Council is expected to give final passage Tuesday night to a backyard chickens ordinance that will allow residents to keep up to 6 hens but no roosters in their backyard. Lafayette would join Boulder, Superior, and Longmont in allowing the fowl within municipal lines. This is something we could do for a $500 investment to be sustainable, said Christina Essert, who got slightly ahead of the city in building a coop and chicken run to house her 6 girls. Now, don't let that scare you off, folks. You can do it for much less than $500. It's just like any other hobby, to be honest with you. You can go to, say, Walmart and buy a $49 complete train set, or you can go to a train collector store and buy a $4,900 engine for your train. Just like with backyard poultry, as this hobby and as the show hobby, you can get started for maybe $100, and it can cost you several thousands, depending on the coop, the run, the setup that you want, the waters and feeders that you use, the electric doors. So you can start anywhere from probably about $100 with a plastic large breed doghouse, a roll of fencing from the Home Depot for about $39, and a few chickens that you may find donated on Craigslist. So don't let that $500, they chose to spend that amount. You can choose to spend whatever you choose to. A lot of people get in it inexpensively, and then as the passion grows and their hobby grows, they'll start dropping some more money with their hobby. The mother of four said the chickens, which include white silkies, a barred Plymouth Rock, a buff Brahma, and a golden lace Cochin, provide her family with 1 to 2 dozen smallish eggs a week and teach her kids a valuable lesson about the origin of food. It gets the kids familiar with animal rearing, she said. I also like that it brings us outside. Essert said, an added bonus is that the chickens produce valuable fertilizer for the family's extensive compost pile, and they didn't make much noise. On Monday afternoon, the 6 hens wandered silently about Essert's enclosed chicken run, pecking and scratching in the straw. Rebecca Schwindler, a Lafayette resident who hopes to get a few chickens of her own over the next year or so, said the animals are low maintenance and rarely a nuisance. Hens themselves are pretty quiet. They're not like a rooster, which you can hear throughout the neighborhood, she said, and they're nothing like a barking dog. Yeah, ain't that the truth? She said keeping chickens is a major part of the slow food movement in which communities try to reconnect with the concept of raising or growing locally owned food and keeping impacts on the environment to a minimum. You can read the rest of the story. It's very good. It's got a couple of really cute pictures here. How precious is that? A little 3-year-old holding one of the silky chickens in the backyard. You can see that at our Facebook page at facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. So, as we see this again, the number may be going up. I think it's still kind of staying steady based on what we've seen over the last several years. 85 to 90% of the cities that approach allowing backyard poultry actually do so when they are presented with the factual information. Also, we may be starting another email campaign for our great folks up in New York, the Helms, I believe they are. And we hope to maybe start another email campaign. We'll let you know this week. That battle's heating up. They've ordered 100 bumper stickers from our friends trying to think of their website, and I apologize, I can't. 100 bumper stickers that say when chickens are outlawed, only outlaws will have chickens. They've ordered 4 of Pat's books from our website, so they're getting really geared up for a big battle up there. We've tried to make contact. I know Christina has tried to call them to get them on the radio show to ask why they're so adamant about denying people the right to their food and the right to sustainability, but we are having trouble getting through. So we will. We're going to invite them and try to get them on the radio show and ask them the tough questions. So also that what they mentioned here, which is something that's going on across the country in the story that made me think, in the story they talked about a neighbor who was also warning and thinking about getting backyard poultry, and they were just waiting for whether it to be legal or just waiting to see what others with backyard poultry, how they liked it, how hard it was to deal with. And everybody I've talked to over the last 7 months, maybe, they are really getting geared up for an awesome spring chick days. Everybody, the hatcheries, the TSCs, the feeding seed stores, the mom and pop, the individual feed stores, the other local and regional chains of feed and agricultural stores, they're all really getting geared up for an awesome chick days this spring. And nobody can really put the nail on it of why. But here's my theory, folks, of why this year may be an awesome year for backyard poultry, and chicken sales, is that 2 years ago it was mammoth. I mean, we had delays at the hatcheries from 6 to 12 weeks on getting even the most common breeds of chickens at these major hatcheries. You know, 6 to 12 week delay. Rare breeds were selling out, and they still are selling out a year in advance. And then last year, not quite as big as the year before. But this year, everybody's getting geared up. Some places are having chick days not only in the spring, but also in the fall now to accommodate their customers' needs and wants with this backyard poultry movement. And here's my theory, whether it be right or wrong, this is my theory, and you know, you can take it or leave it. I think that a lot of people were sitting on the fence, looking at their neighbors and their friends, following the news media, reading books about keeping backyard poultry, and this year may actually be the year where they jump off the fence and go head first into keeping backyard poultry. They said, you know what, I'm not so sure about this. I like the idea. I want to do it. I'm not sure of the responsibility. Let me do some research. And then they see all these news, just like this one in Lafayette, about cities allowing it. Maybe their city now has allowed backyard poultry. They were waiting until spring, until it warmed up a little bit, to actually get their baby chicks. So because of all these variables, I think this year may actually be a big year, possibly as big as 2 years ago when hatcheries were really delayed 6, 8, 12 weeks with getting chicks out and delivered to these folks, because this year may be the year that all these people kind of sitting back on the sidelines watching, but still getting educated, learning about it, and seeing their neighbors who have backyard poultry, this year may be the year that they actually jump headfirst into this and do backyard poultry. So that's my kind of take this year of why we may see a big push and a big boom, just like we did a couple of years ago with backyard poultry here across America. And then one last one here, Oregon bill supports locally grown. There's a bill here in Georgia that's doing that, the Right to Grow Act. The Right to Grow Act. We posted several things on it on our Facebook page. It basically is, and we went down to the Capitol last year in support of this. We talked to the folks. It got through several committees, but then we just started a little too late, and then it never did actually get to the floor for vote. So we're hoping this year that we may be able to make that change. Oregon bill supports locally grown poultry by Amy Holleran. Supporters of small family farms and locally grown food in Oregon are backing three bills, the Farm Direct Bill, the Family Farm Act, and that addresses poultry processing. The matter is also covered in the Omnibus Family Farm Act, which will seek to expand limits on raw milk production, among other provisions. In Oregon, the only way for you to legally sell a processed chicken is to have it processed in your own state-inspected facility, which you have to build to specs and is allowed under the 20,000 bird exemption, which is part of federal law, said Kendra Kimbrowski, president of Friends of Family Farmers, a statewide organization. That facility could cost up to $100,000, according to some producers that we've talked to in the state that have actually gone ahead and done this. Or you can process your birds at a USDA facility. She explained, adding that there is only one USDA facility in Oregon, and it just came online in the last few months. Trying to understand the lace of federal regulations regarding poultry slaughter is not simple, but a glance at the industry's history offers some perspective. And I'll let you read on this, because this is a very, very, very long article. But a lot of states now are starting to follow suit, and several across the country, regarding locally grown food laws, farm laws, Farm Direct Bill, the Right to Farm Act, the Family Farm Act. All of these we're starting to see pop up all across the country, including here in Georgia. And we're again, the sustainable movement is growing and growing and growing. People are letting wants known down at the Capitol and say, hey, we need to do this. We need to do this. This is good stuff. We need to be able to feed our family. We need to be able to provide for ourselves sustainably, organically, and some of the, so I know specifically the Georgia bill basically states that it would supersede any local law or ordinance regarding chicken, goats, and rabbits in urban areas, or anywhere in the state for that matter. It does not supersede if you live in a homeowner's association or in a, if you live in a subdivision, that's fine. But if your subdivision has a legal homeowners association that is legal and binding, then it would not supersede those. Those basically trump everything. So so we're trying to get that passed here in the state of Georgia. And I haven't got any updates on that lately that I remember. But we're seeing these bills pop up more and more across the country as local folks are going down the food movement and trying to get these passed all over the country. Not just, hey, we want to allow chickens, but we want to allow chickens and goats and rabbits, my food source, sustainability, compost bins, gardening. You know, there's some communities that don't even let you have a vegetable garden in your backyard. How ridiculous is that? So definitely see this. It's from Food Safety News, and it is also listed, but it's a very good article, very long, very detailed, and I encourage you to go to our Facebook page and read that, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. All righty, well, perfect timing. It is exactly a half past the hour, which means it's exactly time for our next commercial break. And then when we come back, go ahead and get your pen and paper out, especially if you love Javas, because we're going to welcome the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, Jeanette Behringer, with Steve Moyes, Research and Technical Programs Manager, to talk all about the Java Recovery Project. So get that pen and paper out. We'll be back right after this short break, folks.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We've got a great show lined up for you today. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and head over to the switchboard, and we are going to bring my co-host, Brighton Duncan, back on live. And, of course, it looks like we're going to bring on the line here Jeanette Behringer. Jeanette, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming back.
Hey, Andy. How you doing?
Good, good. I was just calling to see, because I've got to see if y'all were going to be calling in on conference phone, or do I have another call coming in from...
No, we're here.
You're all right there?
Yeah, we're both here.
Very good, very good. I just wanted to make sure that that all that was going to work with you and Steve and get everything done. Well, again, thank you very much for joining us. If you're a new listener and not familiar, the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy joins us the second Tuesday of every month, and they do great work. You can find them online at www.albc-usa.org and go see all the great work they do, not just about poultry, but many, many, many other breeds and types of animals. So, in fact, you can join, you can sign up, you can visit their website, you can call them. They'd love to hear from you, and they'll tell you all the great things that they're doing for all the great animals that that they deal with. So, again, thank you very much for joining us today. I know today we're specifically going to be talking about the Java Recovery Project, and again, if you're just tuning in, we've got Jeanette Behringer with the ALBC and Steve Moyes, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, Research and Technical Programs Manager there at ALBC. So I know I've got my pen and paper ready, and we're ready to learn all about this. I personally do not have any Javas. I haven't had any Javas, but I know a lot of people already in the chat room saying, wow, they're beautiful birds. I have some. They're my favorites, and so I'm ready to learn more.
You know, the Java Project is a second phase in our work with chicken recovery, and a lot of people are familiar with the Buckeye Recovery Project that we started about 5 years ago, which has resulted in, you know, an enormous success in that loads of people are now talking about Buckeyes. There are two Buckeye clubs, and there's some dynamite Buckeyes getting out there, and the Recovery Project's goal was to, one, bring a population of Buckeyes back to being really productive, robust birds that meet the breed standard, and two, to get more people interested in the breed and raising them for meat and for eggs. And although, you know, it was a long process because, you know, breeding good birds doesn't happen overnight. But over a course of 5 years with all of the people that have come on board to work with Buckeyes and take what was started and expand, it's been a tremendous success. And so the next phase is to take on another American breed, which is the Java. And the Java is considered the second oldest recognized American breed. And they're, you know, some of them are much like the Buckeyes when we started in that, you know, maybe not all of them are reach and breed standard and, you know, not as uniform as we would like. And so, you know, we're getting a number of folks involved with this project, much like we did with the Buckeyes. But I thought, you know, I'd take this opportunity to introduce Steve since he's new to the ALBC staff. And Steve actually isn't new to ALBC. He actually worked with us on the Buckeye project from the very beginning on his own farm. And we thought it'd be a great project for him to get going on for ALBC since he's so intimately familiar with how this works. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to introduce Steve, who can maybe talk about himself and what he's doing with the Javas.
Wonderful.
Hi, Andy,
thank
good
you.
To meet you.
Yes, happy sure. Thank you for coming on the show. And it's always a pleasure to have the true experts on the show to educate myself, of course, and all of our great listeners. And it's just y'all have been coming on the show so long. It's just been we have people tuning in specifically just to hear what you guys have to say and to learn more about the breeds that they have or that they're interested in having. So, yeah, the Buckeye, I mean, it's just it's amazing. You see, again, the two clubs that Jeanette was talking about and you're seeing more and more information. You're seeing more people have them. You see ads about them in the poultry press and new breeders, new clubs, the whole nine yards. So it's obviously working very well. Very, very quickly, there was a term that was just used in our chat room, which I don't think that that it corresponds with ALBC terminology. And they were the question was, or the comment was, I didn't know that the Javas were on the extinction list, I think it was, or on the extinct list, or on, let me see how it was actually worded. I didn't think that, oh, endangered, Java recovery, are they endangered too? But I think versus the terminology endangered or extinct that y'all use, there's like different terminology like critical and things like that. Can you share with us before we get started? I wanted to address that, where, again, the Buckeye, not to change the subject, but in the Java, relate what they're categorized there at the ALBC.
Correct. Yeah, we have what we call the conservation priority list, and there is critical, threatened, watch, recovery, and study status on there. And currently, the Java is under threatened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe it was threatened based on our last numbers in the last census.
And is my understanding. Yeah. That's based on how many active breeders or breeder pairs there are out there that y'all have found? Is that how that list is compiled?
Yeah, you know, in the threatened category for chickens, that means that there's fewer than 1,000 breeding birds in the United States. And the key here is breeding birds. There might be a lot more Javas out there at any given time, but they're not necessarily breeding. And so, you know, when you count every single Java, it kind of skews your perception of the population
mm-hmm,
because,
mm-hmm.
if you know, somebody's just got a group of hens and no rooster, not much is going to happen there other than some good egg laying.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fewer than 1,000 breeding birds in the U.S. with 7 or fewer primary breeding flocks, an estimated global population of less than 5,000. And
okay.
So... based on our previous data, the Java did fall under threatened, and Steve's been doing quite a bit collaborating with Java producers, and if there's actually any of them out there that are listening that Steve hasn't talked to yet, give us a call because we want to talk Javas.
Yes.
If you want to talk.
No, sure. So for example, this is, I think, a great point to make. If I happen to have a Java rooster and two or three Java hens, then that we're not talking about me. We're talking about, again, the ones that are breeding, that are, again, specifically trying to carry on these top lines. And so that those numbers you just expressed, I think you explained it pretty well. Just to clarify that, you know, if I have a Java rooster and two or three Java hens, that I'm not really included in that number and shouldn't be.
Well, actually, right now doing the census work for the Java Recovery Project, I'd like to hear from everybody whether you've just got two hens and no roosters, or if you do have a breeding pair, a rooster and a couple of hens. I want to hear from everybody so that we can get an accurate count of how many birds are out there. Now, we are breaking defining the breeding pairs or breeding stock in the sense of who has significant genetics and how big their flocks are, as well as who just has two hens and a rooster out there, and what lines they came from. We're finding with this recent survey that there might be fewer numbers than there were the last time we surveyed, but I still haven't had a chance to speak with everybody, so I definitely want to hear from everybody that has a Java so that we can get an accurate count. Like I said, whether you've got three birds or 100 birds.
Is there a specific, we just had in the chat room, how do we register if we want to be a part of the conservancy program, specifically with Javas? Do you have a specific email, or should they just contact the ALBC from the website?
You can contact ALBC from the website, or you can email me directly. That is SMOIZE at ALBC-USA.org.
Okay, perfect. Very good. Okay, thank you for that. I wanted to clarify that because I want to make sure that, you know, people have that good understanding. And, of course, it was just posted in the chat room as well, the website. If you have even just a couple of Java hens, they'd like to hear from you. So thanks for that information. All righty, let's go ahead and get started and talk about this this program, what it in details, how it's going to help the breed, and what the goals are.
All right. First of all, what we're doing, like I said, is trying to get some census numbers right now. Last year, Jeanette hatched out some birds, placed them with the local community college land lab, and grew those birds out. And very similar to the Buckeye project that happened in years past, we are looking for significant bloodlines, strains, and hatching those eggs out, placing them with local growers to grow those birds out, and then use our chicken assessment program to decide which birds do fall toward the standard, which birds should be kept for breeding stock, which ones should be culled. Ultimately, we're looking to increase numbers and increase the or return the bird back to APA standards if there's any deviation genetically. And then with that, trying to increase the breed's population and the number of farms and flocks out there interested in conserving the breed in the future, as well as general consumer awareness, Javas for eggs, Javas, for chefs and restaurants are on the table.
Awesome. And how long does that process, this whole process with the Buckeyes, how long has that take you to get to the point where it is today?
The Buckeye project took almost 5 years.
Yeah, the real intense work that was done by ALBC was the first 3 years, and then after that, people kind of took off on their own, and the Buckeyes are pretty close to what we were hoping they were going to be, and there's always room for improvement, in any chicken flock, but there's some pretty darn good Buckeyes out there now, and so I'd say from ALBC's point of view, a pretty intense three-year period, and then hopefully we get enough people interested in growing them that it can start to take off on its own.
How when you talk about, again, the job, when I'm just trying to get my question here, if do y'all frequently visit a lot of the shows, because I know I'll see Javas on occasion when we're out at the poultry shows, and those are some pretty extreme, I guess, if you want to say, breeders out there and have a good line and talk about how does that portion when you're doing a project like this, visiting the poultry shows across the country with the American Poultry Association, American Bantam Association, and working with them and the shows, how does that affect the program?
Well, we don't really visit a lot of the shows. What we do is actually tap into our network of breeders. And, you know, we know who are our primary breeders of the Java, and then through word of mouth, I mean, if you're into the Java community, then you kind of know who's got them and who's doing a lot of work with them. And so it's just through our networking that we're able to, you know, connect with the folks that are growing them. And, you know, we've been around for about 30 years, so our networks are pretty decent with the rare breeds that are on the CPL. But it's also posting stuff on the web and just trying to get word out in that respect, because trying to go to a bunch of chicken shows is going to be problematic, although we're really hoping to go to Indianapolis when that comes on. But, it's through our networking that we're able to do that.
The how has the this project, doing the research on this project, comparing it to the Buckeye project, that was a 5-year process. How over that 5 years, and what do you anticipate with the Java project over the next 5 years of the numbers increasing? I'm sure that y'all follow that based on getting it out of those and moving it up from the category that may have started in 5 years ago and where the Java is now. Over a 5-year process, how do you hope to see those numbers move up as far as the breeding birds that are out there?
With the Java project, currently, like I said, with the census numbers, they're looking a little lower than the last time the census was done 2 or 3 years ago. I'm hoping we find more birds. And with this project, I'm hoping through improving genetics and in selecting for the birds and rate of growth, rate of lay, egg laying, that we can get farmers who are once again interested in the bird and get those numbers up significantly. One of the things we found feedback-wise with growers and farmers right now is that with the Java being a slower-growing bird and in this economy with feed costs, some people have thinned, reduced, or completely gotten away from raising the Java. So we're hoping that, you know, if we can improve these birds a little bit, return them back to their standard and get more interest out there, then we can significantly increase those birds. The last good census numbers we had were around 835 breeding birds for Javas, and I haven't found quite that many birds so far, so I would hope in the next few years we can at least get back to that 835 number, if not break 1,000.
Very good. I'm fielding some questions from some of our listeners. One of the questions in the chat room was, does the ALBC have a list of breeders or to get a starting pair of birds? If they've done their research, they want the Java, they want a good quality pair, they want to maybe not be a breeder, but they want to carry on the line, they want to help out with this project and help the breed itself, how would they go about doing that, contacting you guys? Is there a list of breeders they could contact and get their own, say, trio to get started?
Certainly. If you're an ALBC member, you get a copy of our membership and breeder directory each year that has breeders for all of the livestock species that we conserve listed in there state by state and alphabetically and whatnot. You can also go to the website and look at the online version of the breeders directory, or you can call or email the office directly. Tell us where you're at, what you're interested in, and then we can place you with the appropriate people as needed.
Super. I think my co-host for the day, Brighton, who is an avid shower and breeder himself, has a couple of questions for you. Brighton, did you have a question?
Yep. The question,
go ahead.
Is, if I have an offshore and a Java side by side, how do I tell which one is the Java?
Could you hear that?
Was the question, you have an Australort and a Java side by side?
Correct. And then how would he go about the different characteristics between the two to tell them apart?
Well, the big characteristic with the Java, one of the nicknames of the Java is the saddleback, and they have a very distinctive back that almost kind of looks like you throw a saddle on it. And so looking at their bodies, if you're doing side by side with the Java and the Australorp, the Java is going to have that much more curvy kind of back as opposed to the Australorp. I think also the Australorp's going to grow a bit faster. And they also, the Australorp's eyes look a bit different. They're that really dark color as opposed to the Javas, which their eyes aren't quite as dark as the Australorp's are. And so those are a couple of the telltale signs.
Did you have another question for him, Brighton?
Yep. What is the definition of a heritage breed?
The definition of a heritage breed. Excellent question, because I feel that, in fact, I told a lot of dealers when we were up at the Bradley Caldwell trade show this a couple of weeks ago, we were making contact face-to-face with these dealers all across the country, the feed and seed stores all over the East Coast, and that was one thing that I was sharing with them about this coming up year and what we thought was going to happen. And I introduced them to that term, heritage breed. Be prepared this year to hear folks coming into your store requesting heritage breeds, asking about heritage breeds, where they can get, or if any of the breeds that they have heritage breeds, because that's a term we're starting to hear a lot more, again, thanks to the ALBC as well. But we're just seeing that pop up on a lot of websites. And so that's an excellent question, Brighton. What is the true definition of a heritage breed?
That is an excellent question, and by definition, for ALBC, a heritage breed has to meet 4 points. The first being that it be an APA, American Poultry Association, standard breed. Mm-hmm. Chicken must be from parent and grandparent stock of breeds recognized by the APA. The second is that it be naturally mating. Heritage chickens must be reproduced and genetically maintained through natural mating. The third is a long, productive outdoor lifespan. Heritage chickens must have the genetic ability to live long, vigorous lives outdoors and thrive in the rigors of pasture-based outdoor production systems. Breeding hens should be productive for at least 5 to 7 years and roosters for 3 to 5 years. And then the fourth point is a slow growth rate. Heritage chickens must have a moderate to slow growth rate, reaching appropriate market weight for the breed in no less than 16 weeks. This gives the chicken time to develop a strong skeletal structure and healthy organs to build in, prior to building muscle mass.
Yeah, so that definition is on the ALBC website. We worked with a lot of folks to come up with that definition. And the real key in this definition, and it's interesting because we've been having a conversation back and forth with Frank Reese, who's been a huge advocate of heritage poultry for a long, long time, is that it be a bird that reaches APA standards. Because there are a lot of people out there, increasing numbers of people that are marketing their birds as heritage birds, and those are birds that are not meeting standard or are just colored varieties of commercial strains. There's a particularly large hatchery down south that I've heard has been selling loads of heritage chickens, and they're absolutely not, heritage breeds or even APA standard breeds. They're hybrids. So, it's a case of, educating yourself as a consumer when shopping for heritage chickens or wanting to support heritage chickens, make sure you know what you're actually getting.
So it's not just, heritage breed. I've heard this. It's not just a breed that happened to be developed in America that has kind of the colonial days. You think heritage breed, it's a breed that grandpa had, developed in America strictly from here, and that's been kind of carried down through family. That's a great definition, and we can find that, again, at www.albc-usc.org. org. Okay, I've got one more. I got a question from Brighton, but let me go to this one over here from Brits and Grits in the chat room. I believe it's okay to bring fertilized eggs into the country from other countries, just not live birds. Is it safe to bring them in the cabin of an airplane? And so there's an ongoing joke here on the radio show that that I'm waiting for somebody to try that, either basically local, you know, within the United States travel or coming in from out of the country. And there's, again, an ongoing joke that's been mentioned on the radio show to try to get eggs, fertile hatching eggs on the airplane. And with the TSA now doing very extensive pat downs on this radio show, we've shared that visual of all of a sudden you're going through security, TSA starts patting you down quite aggressively, and all of a sudden egg yolk and egg white kind of rolls out from under your clothes. And the trick, and then of course the person saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm ovulating right now, but please let me pass through security." That's kind of an ongoing joke with air travel.
A lot of hatching eggs over a long distance, like I ship boatloads of Buckeye eggs to California via air, and haven't had any trouble. Actually, a surprisingly high hatchability rate, but I was actually thinking of bringing back some eggs from France when we head over, my family and I, this summer, because I'm keen on getting some eggs from a couple of French breeds over there, and we happen to be going to the heart of some interesting chicken country over there. But I'll let you know what happens.
Please do, because I know there's what the three ounce rule. You can't take any liquids on the plane, 3 ounces, and you know you get some pretty big eggs, and you know it just is. Yeah, please share with us. So when we have you on after that trip, if you get to bring some back over here, and let us know how that works. So they were just asking. Is there at the ALBC, also from Brits and Grits, or if it's something she could call, if it's not on the website, regarding new bloodlines from foreign countries, say from Europe? Is there a list of breeders that y'all keep up with in outside of the country?
Well, I've got, you know, some connections overseas, you know, mostly in France because that's where my family's in. Do have some in Spain if you're interested in Spanish breeds. I'm pretty well connected around Cordoba and also Barcelona in particular, and there's some neat breeds from around there. But, you know, you can go to the breed clubs, and the wonderful thing about the Internet is now, you know, Google will translate the pages for you. And typically when you reach out to those folks, you will find somebody that's interested in chatting with you. And I've been looking at, you know, following the USDA guidelines for the importation of eggs. And what it seems like is it's not, you know, impossible to do that. You know, of course, the flock's going to have a health certificate, and the flock of origin is going to have the health testing that, you know, is equivalent to like NPIP. But your best bet is to go to the USDA website and, you know, search for the guidelines for the importation of hatching eggs. And they lay it out, in a very detailed fashion. And it may be that you could, you know, exchange eggs with somebody overseas just through the mail. You know, if eggs are packed properly, you can get a halfway decent hatchability from mailed eggs. As I said, I sent boatloads to California, and they hatched great. So, you know, if you've got healthy birds and producing really good eggs, you know, and you pack them right, chances are good that they're going to do okay.
Great. Well, it's top of the hour. We're going to take a commercial break, and we come back. I know that Brighton has a couple of more questions for you. We have a couple of more in the chat room, so let me encourage you, if you have any questions in the chat room for our guest today with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, you can put them in the chat room. You can send them via private message in the chat room to me, or you can call in 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. Stay with us, because we'll be back right after this short break.
When you need an incubator, think Brensie, the incubation specialist. Brensie has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensie.com. Brensie spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensie.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensie, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We've got about 10 more minutes, and then we've got time for, it'll be chicken trivia time. Chicken trivia time today, of course, is brought to you by EggCartons.com. We're giving away 25 of their very popular teal-colored paper recycled egg cartons. How cool is that? One lucky listener. We've already got a great question lined up for everybody today as well. If you're just tuning in, it is Tuesday. It's the first second Tuesday of the month, and we're welcoming the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, Jeanette Beringer, with Steve Moyes, Research and Technical Programs Manager. We're talking all about the Java Recovery Project and very interesting information and all the hard work that they're doing. And, of course, obviously their love for poultry and why they're doing this. Brighton, I think you had a question or two as well we wanted to ask after the break. Go ahead, my friend.
What breeds are used to create the Java?
What breeds are used to actually create the Java? Where it is derived from? What breeds?
Actually, the earliest origins of the Java history are a little obscure. There's some references back to the late 18th century. But essentially, the breed is felt to have originated from Java poultry brought over from Java, ideally Indonesia nowadays. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially a breed of its own developed here in the country from original Java stock. However, the Java was used to create several other breeds after that fact. The Barred Plymouth Rock, Black Australorps, Rhode Island Reds, Jersey Giants, Delawares, and New Hampshires all come from Java stock.
Perfect. And what I'll follow up that question with another question of if somebody is starting a flock this spring or they're wanting to start some new birds, they want to expand their variety this year. Why? If someone says, "Well, why Java? What advantages? What are some particulars? What will set them apart from the other breeds? And why should I have them on a list of breeds I want in my backyard?"
Right. The Java was quintessentially the homestead bird. It was a great homestead bird. It was an active forager. It was a good dual-purpose bird, both a meat bird and an egg layer. One of the nice things about the Java, with the four color patterns or colors that show up, originally in the height of its day, the black Java was preferred as a meat bird because it showed in the marketplace that all the pin feathers had been properly removed, so it was a well-dressed bird. But you've got the white Java as well, and then the mottled and the auburn Java. So there's a lot of color variation there and a great dual-purpose bird, both meat and eggs, as well as an active forager.
Do you want to talk about the APA standard colors versus non-standard?
Yeah, that's a good point. Back to the conversation about heritage breed and the APA standard, in the late 1800s, around 1883, the black and the mottled color of Java were admitted to the APA standard of perfection. The white was shortly thereafter admitted to the standard and then removed in the early 1900s. And there is an auburn color that pops up every once in a while and folks are maintaining flocks of that had not been put on the APA list at any point in time. And as part of our Java Recovery Project, we are interested in all four colors, not just the black and the mottled.
Perfect, perfect. Let me go back over here to the switchboard, and I think I found the problem why we were barely being able to hear Brighton. Brighton, you had one more question to wrap it up on your end?
Yep. Is there a book about the Javas that you would recommend?
I don't think there are any books that are written about the Java, but who knows? By the end of this project, we might have enough materials to do just that.
Exactly. There you go. Hey, there you go, Brighton. Start doing some research now, and then you can author your first book, which I think is a requirement for your PhD. You can go ahead and get a jump on that, my friend. All righty. Any more, Brighton, before we let you go? or actually have check our chat room, because you're going to hang around with us for the chicken trivia contest, of course. So one good thing about this is that with Brighton being our guest host today, he is not eligible for the chicken trivia contest, and many of you know that he knows the answer to many, many of these questions that we have. So,
Which is not fair.
All the callers can call in now and not worry about Brighton beating you to the punch and getting the answer right and winning the prize. So any other questions for the ALBC, Brighton?
Yep, one more. Where can you go to find out more about Javas?
You can go to our website, albc-usa.org. There is a breed profile on the website. And other than that, we actually, in our research right now, I am scouring through lots of old books for really accurate information on Java. So we'll be keeping that information on our website updated as we find accurate information in these old books.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Brighton, for all of that. Let me go over here to the chat room. Let me scroll up and see if we have any last questions for you from our chat room. And taking a look, somebody was talking about the flights, and they were talking about, of course, we already answered that question about the eggs and whatnot coming over, and someone had put in the chat room, word to the wise that canned biscuits you shouldn't take on the airplane. That's not a good idea. To take canned biscuits with you on the airplane. They've had a personal experience with that, so word to the wise there. Eggs may be okay, but canned biscuits are not. All righty, folks. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. We've been talking to the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy today. We've been talking to Jeanette Behringer with Steve Moyes, Research and Technical Programs Manager, all about the Java Recovery Project. If you like what you hear on the second Tuesday of every month with the ALBC, go back and visit our archives. Listen to all the different breeds that they've come on to share us about, all the different programs, tons and tons of wonderful, wonderful information. And do visit their website, again, at albc-usa.org. That's albc-usa.org. And Jeanette and Steve, thank you very much for joining us today. Wonderful information. We wish you all the luck in the world regarding the project. If you ever need us for any kind of assistance, getting the word out, looking for somebody or something or any of that, just let us know. We'll be more than happy to help, and maybe we'll meet some of y'all on the road when we're hitting some of these shows. Maybe we'll all meet up there at Crossroads in Indianapolis here coming up in October. That would be a great hoot. And, of course, we'll be broadcasting live from that location, so maybe we can, if you're there, get a live interview with you as well. So, Steve, also with you, I know it's going to be a lot of hard work. You did a great job, it sounds like, with the Buckeye Project, and wow, what the success coming from that, just from on my end, starting to see the breed mentioned more at different hatcheries, and of course at in the poultry press and in the magazines and the clubs that I'm starting to see, that is tremendous. I know you're very proud of that work that you've done, and we're positive that the same thing will happen with the Java Recovery Project. Now, real quick, is there any? I know this takes a long process, you know, 5 years down the road, just like with the Buckeye. Are there maybe you can give us a sneak peek? Any other breeds that y'all happen to be looking at, Jeanette and Steve, regarding this? We've got the Buckeye, we're doing the Java. Any other breeds that may be in the chute later on?
Well, there's one that's of particular concern, and we're still trying to track down people that have them outside of Sandhill Preservation Trust, and that's the Holland. And we're having an extremely difficult time finding Holland chickens outside of that flock. And that's another one that's of concern that probably needs a lot of help. There's also the Orientals. A lot of the Oriental breeds don't have a huge following because, you know, it's not like you can keep big groups together because they can be somewhat aggressive towards each other. They're not great egg layers. And so, you know, they present challenges that a lot of backyard breeders aren't interested in you know, dealing with, you know, I mean, there are certainly fanciers that love the Orientals, and they're actually pretty neat. But because, you know, they, you know, don't necessarily play nice with each other and the low egg laying, they could use some more advocates for those. But, you know, in the near future, the Holland's the next one that, you know, we really need to jump on because we suspect their numbers are quite low.
Why? And here's the million-dollar question. Why do you think that, I mean, again, the Java sounds like a wonderful bird, the Buckeye, and some of these that are on the list. Why are they there? Did a lot of these major hatcheries across the country just kind of stop carrying them? Why, if they're again, we've learned about the breeds and how awesome they are and their advantages and of them. Why did this happen? Because you've got the, again, when people think, oh, backyard poultry, Rhode Island Reds, Barred Rock, Silver Laced Wyandotte, Buff Orpington, Black Australorp, you know, you go down the list that's just already fresh in your mind that people are putting in their backyards. You are seeing more people go to the heritage breeds, you're seeing more the rare breeds. But again, for example, something as awesome as the Buckeye, and now we're learning about the Java. What if you could, you know, pinpoint why, what happened? What got them on this list compared to, say, these others that we just named that people always just associate with backyard poultry?
Well, I think that, you know, the number one reason was that, you know, they don't really have a competitive edge as far as productivity compared to the commercial birds that really took off after World War II. And, you know, each of these breeds, although there were a few that shared quite a bit of popularity, like the Dominique, you know, at least down south here, everybody had Dominickers, you know, in their grandparents' backyards. But it's because they don't have a competitive edge over the commercial birds. And people's mindset got, you know, attuned and you know, marketing had a lot to do with it. And people were just, you know, given the message and convinced that, well, you know, the commercial birds grow bigger, grow faster, so they're better. And a lot of these breeds got forgotten, except for a few of their advocates and people that maybe had them in their family for generations. So I think a lot of it's like marketability, you know, the marketing plans. The Chicken of Tomorrow contest certainly was a huge influence in the demise of a lot of the heritage breeds. You know, it's hard to compete with that title, you know, the Chicken of Tomorrow. It's the same thing like in cattle with the Black Angus. The people who took on the marketing strategy for the Black Angus were brilliant. And, you know, and the fact is, though, at the time where that marketing plan came into play, there were other breeds that could actually out-compete the Black Angus. But because they had such a strong following of supporters, strong marketers for the breed, the Angus took off and overwhelmed the industry. But, you know, there actually were some other breeds that grew every bit as good as the Black Angus back when they started taking off, but they didn't have the people behind them to do the marketing. So, I mean, I suspect that marketing had a lot to do with it. And also, you know, some of these breeds were never, you know, widely available. They were developed for very specific niches. The Buckeye in Ohio, they could deal with the cold winters, and they were good foragers. Or white-faced Black Spanish, they were popular down south here as egg layers, and they were around for a long, long time in backyard flocks. You know, it's just when these commercial birds came on board, a lot of these breeds fell to the wayside because they just don't have a competitive edge.
Interesting. All righty. Well, I mean, that's great information to know. So people can say, well, what's the deal? And since we talk about these breeds and how awesome they are and beautiful and their great advantages, even being dual purpose, why are they on this list to begin with? So thank you for sharing for that. That's the million-dollar question. Well, Jeanette and Steve, thank you so much for joining us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I know, Jeanette, we'll see you here in another 30 days, the first Tuesday of March. I can't believe it's already March, and lots of folks are starting to have their chick days and starting to get the chicken fever, so we're anxious to get into the spring and talk more and more about our passion of poultry, backyard poultry, and show poultry. So thank you very much for coming on and sharing all about this program, the Java Recovery Project. And we look forward to seeing you in about 30 days.
Thank you.
All right, our pleasure. Bye now.
Great. Bye-bye. Thank you very much.
Bye.
All righty. Well, we're going to, you know what? We're going to give you the question today, the chicken trivia question. Then we'll go to a short break. We'll come back, and we'll see if we can't have a winner. We're going to take caller number 8. Haven't had that number in a long time. Caller number 8. If you know the answer to the following question and you're the right caller, you will win an awesome 25-pack of some they just introduced back these awesome, quite vibrant colors of egg cartons there at eggcartons.com. 25 teal-colored egg cartons, and you'll win that from eggcartons.com if you know the answer to the following question. And your caller number 8. What year was the Java admitted into the Standard of Perfection? What year was the Java admitted into the Standard of Perfection? If you happen to know the answer to that question, you want to try to win those awesome egg cartons from eggcartons.com, 347-637-3237, caller number 8, 347-637-3237. We'll be back right after this short break.
Yay!
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Give me just a second here. There we go. I wanted to bring come on, switchboard. There we go. Wanted to bring Brighton back live here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Thank you very much for staying with us today. Great show. Hope you took a lot of notes. And I want to remind you that, let's see what we got here. Tomorrow, I believe, is Jim Atkins. Thursday, Poultry Today with Dr. McCray. And then, of course, this Friday, another great fun Friday. And we also have a special guest lined up for Friday as well. So chock full of all kinds of information for you. All righty, let me get over here to the switchboard. About 3 minutes remaining in the show. And we said caller number 8. So let me scroll down here. The Christmas tree is lit up. We're going to go down to caller number 8. All righty, caller number 8 calling in from area code 229-229. You're on the air with Andy and Brighton. If you'll state your name and tell us where you're calling from, please.
Hi, this is Kevin. I'm calling from Bakersfield, California.
Hey, Kevin. Thank you very much for tuning in today. We appreciate you. And let me get over here. The question is, what year was the Java admitted into the Standard of Perfection? And what answer do you have for us today, Kevin?
1883
is the answer I have as well. You have just won 25 teal-colored egg cartons from eggcartons.com. And we appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate you playing Chicken Trivia today. Kevin, if you'll just send me either via Facebook or through email, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. That's chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. Just email me over your contact information, including a phone number. A lot of our shippers are asking for that now just in case there's a mess up with the shipping that they use. So shipping address and a telephone number, and we'll get that to eggcartons.com and our friend Scott up there. They'll take care of all of that. So I want to thank my co-host for today, Brighton Duncan, future poultry scientist and PhD and avid showmanship person that travels all around and shows his wonderful birds. So thank you very much, Brighton, for being my co-host today. And on behalf of my regular co-host who couldn't join us today, Pat Foreman, I can't say quite as elegantly as she does, but we for my friend Pat, We thank you all for tuning in, both our folks that listen via podcast and listen live. We thank all of our sponsors. We thank Blog Talk Radio. And until tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, may the flock be with you all. God bless everybody.